Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
John is saying that there are deceivers all around. It is the last hour. The way to know the authentic voice of God is to engage in sessions of intimacy with Him, because that will build your ability to hear.
This week, Pastor Neil delivers an insightful message titled, Identifying and Addressing Deceivers. Drawing from Scripture, he revealed how deceivers operate within and around the church, opposing Christ or even posing as Him. These individuals may have once been part of the faith community, but now exploit those with limited biblical understanding, sowing confusion and leading others astray. He emphasizes that to guard against deception, believers must let the Word of God remain deeply rooted within them. Stay anchored in both the Son and the Father. Walk closely with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to teach and guide you. Pastor Neil says a genuine believer, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, is equipped to recognize truth and discern falsehood. The ultimate safeguard is to keep your eyes fixed on eternal life, the promise that anchors our faith and protects our hearts. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Identifying and Addressing Deceivers.
Today we are going to operate on a principle that is so very crucial. I wanted to bring a cassette tape with its player and play a message I preached on the day this ministry was begun to see how many of you could tell that was my voice. And I bet you if I played it, most of you would never know that that is me. But when I played for this woman, no matter how it sounds, she will know. Why? Because she's very intimate with me. So I can disguise my voice all I want. She knows it. So intimacy becomes then the basis for you to know the authentic voice of the one that you are intimate with. The more we are intimate with God, the more we know His voice in the midst of deceitfulness, in the midst of falsehood and all the other things. Are you guys with me? And the Apostle John in today's lesson is simply saying to us, you are about to come into a place of difficulty. You are in the last hour, the place where the Antichrist is about to come. And then he says, even right now, there are many what? Antichrist in the midst of you. All right? And then he says, but the only way you will be able to find the difference between the deceivers who are Christians and genuine Christians is because of the unction or the anointing or the Holy Spirit inside you, because it takes the spirit of a person to let you know the authentic voice of that individual. Are you guys with me? I'm describing the entire lesson to you. So then he comes to a conclusion and says, if you want to be able to pick up all the people who have the ability to deceive you, you cannot, for any reason, ignore the Holy Spirit. And he says, your ability to depend on the Holy Spirit happens in the context of intimacy. When you spend time in worship and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, change who I am. As you keep working, the Spirit of God works with you. He whispers into your spiritual ears. So gradually, over time, you will become familiar with the voice of God, so that when the Antichrist, those who are posing like him, when they speak, you can know the difference. Did you understand what? All right. So that's what today's lesson is all about. And I will use as a subject this morning, identifying and addressing the deceivers. We have lots of them. There are deceivers in the pulpit today. There are crazy people all around. And we want to be able to identify the deceivers. So please, let's go into the book of 1 John chapter 2. We will start from verse 18. Are you there with me? It says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." Everybody say last hour. So John is speaking and he says, you are in the last days. You are in the last hour. And in this last days, something is going to happen. What are they? He says, "As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come." This is how we know that it is the last one. All right, now let's try and understand the word Antichrist. The word, the prefix anti means against. Let's explain it in very simple terms. If you are anti something, it means you are against the thing. So if something is anti, it means it is what? Against. But also in the Greek, the word anti means something that looks like it. It is the fake version, but not the real. Are you with me? So whenever we say Antichrist, it is those who pose as Christ and then those who oppose Christ. Did you copy it, Bo? So he says, in the last hour, in the last days in which we are, there will be deceivers who poses as Christ and who will oppose Christ. Did you copy that? So he said, "Dear children, you are in the last hour, and I want you to know that there will be, the Antichrist is coming." How many of you know that the Antichrist is coming? Next week, I'll talk about the second coming because John talks about it. Today, Christians are thinking they can live and forget that Jesus will come. He will. The problem is that he may be long, but when you die today, he has already come for you. So you must be prepared, what? Each single day. Amen? So, dear children, he says, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and many Antichrists are already in your midst. Now, let's take a moment and look at something. We want to identify the Antichrist, the deceivers, those who are posing like Christ, but actually they oppose him. They preach like him, but they are actually not preaching his message. And we have many today. And most people like the fake. Because we want the things that will make us feel good. And in pursuing what makes you feel good, sometimes you will end up embracing the fake. Okay, please, look at my face. Everybody, focus on me. Leave your Bible alone. I am going to share this with you. Your entire Christian life is based on only one thing, so that you become like Christ. Anything outside it that is preached is error. Jesus didn't die so you'll get a car. You will get a car at some point. You will have a house at some point. But he died so that the sin problem will be dealt with so that you become like what? Like him. So every message you preach must go there. So you conform to the image of Christ. Are you guys with me? So the Apostle John is saying that there is a way we can identify deceivers. Number one, deceivers oppose Christ, or they pose like what? Like Christ. They give you messages that will let you feel good. Number two, he calls them many. The deceivers are many. I said the deceivers are what? They are present in all cultures. They communicate in all kinds of languages. Three, English, German, Russian. You will find deceivers everywhere in the world. They wear all kinds of clothing. When I was growing up, we used to think all the deceivers had a cassock on with a red band, and then they had a little bit of, they put some powder or something. Then sometimes we think that Satan has a pitchfork. These days, they are all dressed in nice three-piece suit. Satan is embedded in the phone, in the TV. It's everywhere. Deceivers are what? There are some who are known. You will see them on big television. Then there are some who are not known. They are quiet, deceiving people privately. There are some who are leading big groups, and there are some who are leading what? Small groups. I want you to know that deceivers are everywhere. They are? Okay, so I want you to know that. Can you and me, can we be deceivers too? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. This is why when you are advising people, be careful what you're saying to them. Because sometimes you are telling them what they want to hear. You are not telling them the truth. And as long as you are not telling them the truth, you are a deceiver. You are a deceiver. Let us be careful. Amen? Thirdly, deceivers are people who were once part of the church. Do you realize that those who are going around all around these days, they used to be Christians. Then they felt, oh, there's a new revelation. Something powerful has happened. Then all of a sudden, they are telling you, and people are going, human beings, we like new things, right? It's new. Let's just be honest. If I give you bread, and you've been eating the bread for many years, after a while, you get tired with the bread, wouldn't you? But if I took the same bread, put it in a different shape, gave it a different branding in terms of the packaging, and I said, the bread of heaven. It would amaze you the long lines you have with people who want this new bread. But it is the same bread repackaged. It's human behavior. And that is why we become so susceptible to deceivers, because we are always looking for something new. Men, your wives are enough packaged for you. You may have lived with them for years. You just don't like the way they do their things, but this is who the Lord has given you. It's your portion in life, including the Lord himself. Ladies, the men may not be the type you want, but that's what you got. And what you got is not perfect, but it is what you got. And since you got that, then please, it's like if Pastor Diana wants a tall man, she can't have, because I am a vertically challenged individual, right where I'm at. In an effort to follow something new, we end up following deceivers. Be careful not to follow a deceiver, because sometimes what you already have is good enough. So what you already have is what? Is good enough. All right. Now, if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, look there. He says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And if you meet people who are deceiving people today, they used to be Christians. They used to be people who were in the church. And now they are out and they are saying all kinds of things. And then you hear them say things like, we don't believe that this thing in the Bible is true. It is true and it's always been true. It is you who wants to have a new packaging. Keep your packaging, because we know what is inside. We know the content. Fourthly, deceivers are people who never genuinely place their faith in Christ. They never did. And please notice, I said Christ alone. They never placed their faith in Christ alone. They were in church. Their faith was in Christ and something else. So when, after a while, they realized, I've prayed, I'm not seeing anything. Then all of a sudden, they realized that something else is working somewhere. Maybe that is the truth. Deceivers, they come out of us. They used to be. If one day you hear me preaching another gospel that is okay to go after another woman, do not follow me. Do not what? Follow me. Be careful. turn to the person sitting next to you and wave your finger at them like that and say, please don't get mad. It's pastor asking me to do it, not me. And tell them, be careful. Don't be a deceiver. Deceivers are people who exploit those who are limited in their biblical understanding. You meet people who realize they don't know the scriptures. You start manipulating them. You tell them stuff they want to hear. Meanwhile, you know. Somebody says 96 blessings. So they quote Psalm 96 to bring 96 blessings. And most of us Christians, we like stuff like that, though. Hey, haven't you heard the 96 blessings of the hour? We are going to the year 2026. 2 plus 2, 2 plus 0 is 2, plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 6 is 10. Ah, 10 is a completion. Then we are after that. No. God is not mysterious. Anybody who writes 66 books about himself is not. He's made what we ought to know known to us. Don't let anybody tell you there's some mystery hidden. The mystery has already been what? Revealed to us. Deceivers are people who exploit those with limited what? Biblical understanding. Number 6, deceivers reject the divinity and the incarnation of Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. He says, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Anybody who tells you that Jesus is not real. And today is going on. I heard somebody who says, I am bisexual and a Christian. The two things are mutually exclusive. The person. You can't be both. You are either one or the other. It's a slap in the face of God who said, and he made them male and what? So you realize how over time politics is making us become deceivers because we are accepting things and we are projecting them. Meanwhile, God is very clear in his word. But because the sin is attached to a human being, when you condemn it, it is like you are condemning the person. No, separate them and you realize that there's something wrong. Amen? Anybody who says Jesus is not Lord and God and has come in the flesh, that person is an antichrist, period, and is deceiving people. So, on the opposite end, how do we identify genuine or true believers? John pushes. Look at verse 20. Now, he said so many things. Verse 23 says, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now, let me go back to verse 23 because I think there's something there I missed that is important. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. If you all can read with me, verse 23. Look in your Bibles. Let's read together. He says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever acknowledges the Son also. What is he saying? He's saying that if you ignore the Son, you are ignoring God. So you cannot say that you know God is there, but you don't like Jesus. It's error. It's deceivers who do that. We are all serving the same God. How can you say, you Christians, that you are the one who have the best one? The last time I checked, Muhammad never came from heaven. The last time I checked, Buddha did not come from heaven. The last time I checked, all the major religions of the world, their leaders never showed up from heaven. And nobody made the what I call the most exclusive statement. I am the way, the truth. And so Christianity is not pantheism. It's not everything works. There's an exclusivity to it. In other words, it's Jesus or the others. It can't be him and everybody else. Are you guys with me?
He says, anybody who makes it sound like, oh, we have to be tolerant and bring everybody in, they are deceiving you. But the opposite, that authentic believers, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. But it said, but you have an anointing. The King James says you have an unction. Other versions will say you have a gift from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. So what does the authentic believer have? They have an anointing. Everybody say an anointing. And who is the anointing? So the last time I checked, anointing is not. That's not anointing. That's a lie. Is somebody shaking? Did you get it? An anointing is not volume. Are you with me? Authentic believers primarily are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He says, but you have an unction. Please forgive me. I always quote from King James. But you have the Greek word charisma. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And it says, because of that, you know the truth. That's the second characteristic. That is what? The second characteristic. So, authentic believers, they recognize the truth. They are not only indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but they can recognize their truth. Have you ever heard somebody speak? And even though you don't know what they are saying, there is a part of you that says, it doesn't sit well with me. Has it ever occurred to anybody? Because the Holy Spirit in you is making sure that it doesn't what? Sit well with you. Because it's not true. You may not have read it, but some way, somehow, you know. Can you guys align with that? It's like a woman who has gone into a departmental store and looking for a kind of dress. The sales associate shows up and says, what are you looking for? I am not sure exactly, but when I see it, come on, ladies. Right? So they take you here. Is this? No. Is that? No. Is this? No. Is this? No. Then they get to a right here. Why? Because your spirit knows something your head doesn't know. That's what the essence of the scripture, that when the Holy Spirit is in you, your human spirit tends to know stuff that your head doesn't know. Authentic believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. They recognize the truth. And thirdly, they can discern between truth and falsehood. So when you find believers, people sitting, sometimes you turn on the TV and you see these large churches, and the pastor who is standing there is lying to the people, and the people are standing up and clapping their hands. I'm wondering where the Holy Spirit is. Because if he is in them, he will give you an itch. Something ain't right. Pastor, you are judging them. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me. So I can tell the difference between falsehood and truth. It's not judgment. It's scripture. Amen. So what is the first mark of a genuine believer? He's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he can recognize the truth. Thirdly, discern between what? Falsehood. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 21. He says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. In other words, you can discern that. Let's read this also in the Living Bible. Okay? It says, so I am writing to you as to those who need to know the truth, but I warn you as those who can discern the difference between what? True and falsehood. So now let's begin to look at what are some of the safeguards you and I can build, because John did not only talk about the deceivers, the antichrist that are already around. He did not talk about the fact that this is a way to know the true believer, but the true believer can also be deceived. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in control and you keep following some other crazy stuff, you will be what? Deceived.
So John teaches us some safeguards from verses 24 to 27. Let's read that. Please, I would love that we read these scriptures one by one. Look at verse 24. Shall we everybody go? As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. And if it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. Please underline, circle, highlight, whatever, draw a circle, anything around those two words, and it's the same word, remain. Remain. Say that with me, remain. But as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. All of your Christian life, this is what you are doing, remains in you. And if it does, you will remain in there. It's like the words of Jesus in the book of John chapter 15. He says, if you abide or if you remain in me and my words were. So please notice, let me illustrate it this way. We start abiding in the word until the word abides in us. Did you hear what I just said? This is an important principle. So you start abiding by reading, by understanding, by taking it in until this word, the other part of it called Jesus, because Jesus is the word. Until what? Remember the principle we started with. All of your Christian life, it is Christ where? In you. And I'll show you how to get there. So let's try and understand the word remain. I don't want to go over it, because some of you would take it in a very... The word remain in the Greek is the word called meno. The word meno has three connotations. Number one, it means to hang out. If you hang out with your Bible. Number two, stay. If you stay in it. One day you are reading the word of God. The next day you are reading all kinds of posts people put on WhatsApp. On social media. You have to hang out. How many of you understand hang out? Do I need to get into it? If you have to go to your backyard and put up the grill and set up some burgers and some ribs and grab your Bible and get into it, it's still hanging out. I'm only just putting it as a picture, but that's not what hang out means. We must learn to hang out. So number one, meno means what? Hang out. Number two, it means what? Stay. Number three, it means continue. Continue in that thing. Right? And the last word is important. You must endure. Because sometimes when you read the word of God, we don't like it. Anybody like me? But you're saying, yeah, but I'm not seeing your hands. Anybody like me? That you read the stuff and you just don't like it. No, God says endure. Stay there. Don't go away. And you must keep enduring until the word literally becomes part of you. So you are reading a letter, but then the true word, Jesus, is the one who gets in there. Are you getting it? Meno. Meno. Tell somebody meno. Meno the word. So the first safeguard is allow the word of God to remain in you. Let it stay in you. The word of God to stay in you. And then you stay in the Son and in the Father, he says. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. And if it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father. So remaining in the Son and the Father is not a problem. Leave that one alone. Begin with this. Meno the word. Amen? Thirdly, focus on eternal life. If you are going to safeguard yourself, you must focus on. Don't focus on what I call the bios and the suke. I taught you this before. Life, as we see it, the word life in English, offering through the scriptures, is interpreted in several ways. All right? There is what is called the bios, or your physical kind of life, called your biology. then there is suke, or your psychological kind of life. But then the Bible often focuses on what is called the Zoe kind of life, eternal life. When you focus on eternal life, it is very difficult for deceivers to deceive you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.